If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, the Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed podcast brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 399. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Cross MLB, and the show is at Toolshed Pod. Rolling solo in this one, going over my recently updated top 500 prospect rankings for July. If you're listening on Thursday, July 3rd, when this episode drops, they are up today over on my Patreon, which is toolshedfantasy.com. Full 500 are over there. A lot of fun updates this month. So I wanted to hop on and kind of break down some of the notable names that are moving up and down. Most of these will be risers, but we'll talk a few fallers as well. It's always a fun ranking in the middle of the season. And the next update will include all of the 2025 draftees. So that'll be a fun one as well. Before I get into it all, though, the usual housekeeping. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review wherever you listen to this podcast. You can find all of my content either on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, which again is toolshedfantasy.com. And make sure you check out all of the great content over on Rotoballer with Rotoballer's MLB Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners. Import your leagues with TeamSync and get expert advice customized for your league-specific settings. Win more with Rotoballer's lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use the discount code TOOLSHED at checkout to get 10% off. All right, so starting off here with my new top, you know, I'll go through the entire top 25 here. I'm not going to list off every single name in my top 500, obviously, but I'll go through the top 25 and then get in some notable names here that are moving. Roman Anthony, still number one. He will be on the list for just this month. This will be the last update. I mean, assuming he doesn't get hurt, he'll probably fall off before my August update. He's number one. Connor Griffin, two. 3, 4, 5 is Sebastian Walcott, Kevin McGonigal, and Chase Burns. 6 through 10, Leo DeVries, Jesus Mate, Luis Pena, Samuel Basayo, and Jack Caglione. 11 through 15, we get Zaire Hope, Max Clark, Travis Sikora, Walker Jenkins, and Jacob Mizierowski. 16 through 20, Josue De Paula, Chase DeLauder, J.J. Weatherholt, Eduardo Quintero, Josue Briseño. 21 through 25, Travis Bazana, Andrew Painter, Lazaro Montez, Colt Emerson, and Michael Arroyo. Just realized I have three Seattle guys back to back to back to close out that top 25. I mean, there's a lot of debate and a lot of, you know, polls and discussion on Twitter and wherever else about, hey, who's going to be the new number one now that the, you know, consensus number one, Roman Anthony, is going to graduate here in the next couple of weeks. I can't remember how many bats he's currently at, but I think it's within the next, should be by the All-Star break, I'm pretty sure, he'll fall off. You know, there's several very deserving candidates. So it's not like one guy that's like, oh, this is the new number one. But for me, that's going to be Connor Griffin. I made that claim a few weeks ago, really, before it really became a mainstream popular opinion to put him up that high. I mean, me and Michael Halpern, which is obviously a great prospect dynasty writer over on his site, Imaginary Brick Wall. Definitely go give his stuff a follow. Great stuff over there. Me and him were like, I think the first two I saw put him number, he had him number one because he was only doing guys that were still in the minors. And I still had him number two, but I tweeted out that he's going to be my next number one, which got some backlash a little bit. People were like, oh, I can't put him that high yet. And I get it. He's a little more raw, Walcott's at a higher level. I get it. But the adjustments that Connor Griffin has already made this season are very encouraging. I mean, he's running, about a 78% contact rate in high A right now. He's cut down the strikeout rate. He's increased the walk rate. And, this is a guy that had some hit tool concerns. Evaluators were wondering, will he make enough contact? Will he keep the K rate in check? And so far, it's still only, the first, 68 games of his professional career. But so far, so good. And the fact that he has already made adjustments and improved these rates, that is very encouraging. I mean, in high A, he only has a swinging strike rate of 8.5%. That's a very good mark, especially for someone his age at his level. And then obviously you factor in there's potential for plus power here that he's already showing off. He's a big 6'4", 6'5", big, like this guy was a two-sport athlete. He looks like he could be playing, like one of those bigger-bodied wide receivers. Like, this is a really strong, athletic guy. And there's double plus speed. I mean, he already has, 37 steals, been caught 7 times. So that's a success rate above 80%. And he's already tapping into that power, too. 12 home runs already, a 538 slug. And I think that's only going to keep growing. I mean, he already gets to the pull side a good amount. Ground ball rate is a little higher right now. That's 48%, but that's actually come down. It's down around 40% since he got up to high A. I mean, this is a potential early round fantasy asset down the road. I mean, we're talking about a guy that could be 30 plus home runs, 40 plus steals. Maybe he doesn't have quite the power of like an O'Neill Cruz, but look at what O'Neill Cruz has been doing in terms of home runs and steals. Like, that's what, I mean, I'm not doing a comp, but that's what Griffin is capable of. He's capable of those eye-popping home run stolen base numbers. And I think he's a better pure hitter. I mean, it's hard to compare because he's 19 in high A, Cruz in the majors. But I think there's a good chance he's a better pure hitter than O'Neill Cruz is. I mean, that's not really hard to do because Cruz has his issues in terms of contact and whatnot. And he has a K rate pretty high this year. But I see some early, Bobby Witt Jr., again, not a comparison, but I'm just trying to get through the upside that Connor Griffin has. Like, it's massive. It's first round fantasy upside. And I think he's even more polished than Walcott was at the same age. So that's not a slight to Walcott. I mean, obviously I'm still very high in Walcott. He's my number three, but that's why I go Griffin as my new number one here. And the other name in this top, tier or two, that is maybe the not sexy name just because he's not a flashy, super high upside type. That's Kevin McGonigal. He absolutely belongs, though. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind McGonigal belongs in this top tier of prospects. The guy is arguably one of the best pure hitters in the minor leagues. I mean, he missed a little bit of time earlier this year. He's come back. And in 172 plate appearances, 365, 448, 642 slash line, 7 home runs and a steal, more walks than strikeouts, 12.8% walk rate, and a 10.5% strikeout rate overall. And that was 6 games in low A, 32 so far in high A. I mean, he's slashing 382, 461, 679 in high A. And I should mention, I'm recording this. It's about dinner time, 6, 7 o'clock right now, East Coast. So all these stats that I'm mentioning obviously will not include whatever happens on Wednesday night. So just keep that in mind that stats might be a day old once you hear this on Thursday. But McGonagall, I mean, he is, again, a plus hitter easily. I don't even like to throw double plus on hitters that often, because oftentimes it doesn't work out. Like, we threw double plus on Jackson Holliday, didn't really work out. But I think you can say double plus as the overall hit tool when you kind of combine. I mean, the hit tool is like this, you know, broader term, but you know, you break it down, you know, contact, approach, you know, strikeout, walk. McGonagall's contact rate, it's actually gone down a little bit this year. Last year it was about 87-88%. This year it's down to about 83%. That's still a very good, you know, metric right there. Does not swing and miss much at all. Again, more walks than strikeouts. But he's more than just like a, you know, slap hitter, put the bat on the ball and get on base type of guy. I mean, yeah, he puts the bat on the ball and gets on base, absolutely, at very high clips. He's got sneaky power too. Like, I think this is easily at least an average power bat, maybe even above average. And even though he only has one steal, like, this is a, you know, solid runner too. Again, not a burner, but I could see him being like a high teens, low 20s home run type with at least double digit steals. And then you factor in, it's going to be a high average, high OBP. You know, the floor, I mean, if I was ranking on floor, he'd be my number one. Hands down. And then I kind of filter in like with Griffin after that. But the floor is incredibly high. He's extremely polished. That Detroit lineup's gonna be really fun. I mean, it already is. And then, I mean, you got this three-headed monster right now in high A with McGonagall, with Max Clark, and with Jose Briseño. I mean, those are all in my top 20 right there. So yeah, McGonagall absolutely belongs. He's 20 right now. He'll be 21 mid-August. Got to imagine that all three of them, you know, are probably due for a bump up to Double A pretty soon here, which hopefully means I get to see them all by the end of the year. Even though I already saw Briseño a lot last year in the AFL, I'll get to him in a second here. But yeah, Briseño, McGonagall, Clark, that's a phenomenal trio. And McGonagall, I have the highest of the three, but I'm super high on all three of those guys. Absolutely. And, you know, let's just go right into Briseño here, who I have number 20 overall now. And again, these ranks, I'm still tweaking on the ranking. So you might hear me say a rank and it's like slightly different tomorrow by a few spots. Again, I'm still tweaking them. I'll be tweaking them into the wee hours of Thursday morning until I put out the update. So still tweaking that, but I just give you a general idea of where I have these guys, where I say the rank throughout the show. You know, I have Briseño 20 right now. You know, I have a few spots ahead of Lazaro Montes, and you know, I think that's unpopular, and I think more so because Montes has been that big name for a couple of years now. Obviously, and that's no slight to Montes, so I also have top 25. But you just look at these two combined. I did a tweet on, you know, about half an hour before I started recording this, kind of putting them side by side. I mean, they're basically the same age. Briseño is like a few weeks older than Montes. You know, Montes just got bumped up to Double A, but they're basically at the same level right now. And yeah, Briseño missed a little bit of time earlier this season, so he's got 110 fewer plate appearances. Let's just look at, you know, combined, you know, look at the stats side by side here. You got a 268, 391, 587 slash line for Montes, 291, 416, 599 for Briseño. So he's higher than all three there. At bats per home run, nearly identical, 13.1 for Montes, 13 for Briseño. Walk rate, 16.7% for Montes, 17.3% for Briseño. They both walk at a super high clip. 26.8% strikeout rate for Montes, only 16.4% for Briseño. Contact rate around 66% for Montes and around 77% for Briseño. ISO nearly the same, 319 to 308 for in favor of Montes there. You know, again, the power for both these guys is immense. I mean, Briseño is the only prospect. There's one more minor leaguer Luis Campuzano, but he's not a prospect anymore. But in terms of the guys who are actually still prospects, Briseño is the only one in the minor leagues right now with at least, I think it was 100, and no, it could have been even a lower threshold, but I didn't drop the threshold too low, but you know, with a 300 plus ISO and more walks than strikeouts right now. I mean, this guy combined, this is, you know, I'd say an above average to plus hitter give, and I say plus. I mean, the contact skills are above average. The approach is plus or better. So when you kind of combine those into the hit tool, I think it's a plus hit tool. This guy's going to hit for a good average, even better OBP. There's plus power. I've seen that power firsthand last year in the Arizona Fall League, where he was the MVP of that league by a mile. He won the Arizona Fall League Triple Crown, which hadn't been done in, what was it, 18 years or whatever it was. So, like, this guy is legit. And he missed a lot of time last year, only played like 44 games. But Briseño is legit. This is probably higher than you'll see him on a lot of other rankings. But I'm fully buying into the Briseño hype, you know, where he ends up long term. He's been playing both first and catcher. Hard to say. I see him as more of a first baseman. I'm surprised they still have him catching right now. I thought this was going to be like a transition throughout the offseason and have him be a first base DH type, which I think he's still going to be an impact bat there. You know, the bat's going to be an impact bat wherever he ends up, you know, between catcher and first base. But I do believe it's going to be first base. So don't, you know, count on that catcher tag staying around too long. But, man, the bat is legit there with Briseño, no doubt in my mind. All right, next guy I want to talk about here that, you know, I actually thought about putting top 25. And you talk about, you know, it's not just, you know, West Michigan that has a loaded trio there with the guys that is mentioned. The Dodgers high A affiliate does as well with the outfield trio. I mean, these guys are all in the outfield too. So it's like one spot. You got Zaire Hope, you got Josue De Paula, and you got Mike Sirota. Random side note. Whenever I say the name Mike Sirota, my brain goes to Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park. I don't know why my brain does that, but I don't know if anybody else had ever thought that when they say the name Mike Sirota. But all the three of those guys are at high A right now. Probably all due for a bump to double A. And then you got Eduardo Quintero tearing it up down there in high A, who I have at 19 overall. I mean, should be in low A for him. He's can't get a bump to high A until one of these guys gets a bump to double A. Probably all due for that bump to the next level up. But, you know, Sirota and Quintero have been two major risers this year. I mean, Quintero, like, it's just like fantasy friendly numbers in the minor leagues right now. But he's the one that's, I think, getting a lot more fanfare than a Mike Sirota. You know, Sirota's a guy I liked a lot out of college. You know, he was at a Northeastern third round pick, 87th overall last year. You know, kind of gave me Colton Cowser vibes from a few years before that, where, you know, it was a good profile, but just got kind of knocked down a peg or two because it wasn't against, like, you know, wasn't like in the SEC, the ACC, you know, the Pac-10, etc. Wasn't against elite competition. So, you know, there's questions, you know, how will he do when he faces more elite competition than what he faced at Northeastern? You know, the answer to that is, he's holding his own right now. He's basically split the season between low A and high A. Overall, in 55 games, 254 plate appearances, slashing .335, .453, .635, 13 home runs, 4 steals, 16 doubles as well, 18.1% strikeout rate, walk rate, and then a 22.4% strikeout rate. You know, this is an above average power bat. Above average to plus speed as well, though he hasn't really been running much at all this year. He's 4 for 8 in stolen base attempts. I kind of wonder, does he run a ton long term? You know, maybe he's not a 20 steal guy, but I still feel pretty confident saying he's probably a double digit steal guy. Now, even if it's more 10 to 15 as opposed to 20 to 25, still should give you at least some speed impact for your fantasy teams. And I think this is an above-average hitter with above-average power. I mean, I teeter on average to above-average hit tool. You know, contact rate's around 74% right now, but not a lot of swing and miss in the game. You know, swing and strike rate is under 10%. And again, is a great approach to play, 18% walk rate. Get some base at a high clip. You know, swing rate, that it's not too aggressive. Got to like that as well. And so I think this could be like a 260, 270 type of hitter, with 25 to 30 bombs, 10 to 15 steals, something like that. If that is with the Dodgers or elsewhere, who knows? I can't say with any certainty if any of these four, I mean, the fact that they have Dodgers have like four of my top 10 outfield prospects with De Paula, Hope, Sirota, and Quintero, Who knows how many of these guys are actually with the Dodgers? I feel like maybe one of these guys gets traded, maybe for, you know, some pitching help, because the Dodgers have like everyone hurt on the mound. So I wonder if one of them gets traded, you know, at the deadline or in the offseason. We'll see. But I try not to like let that impact my rankings too much. These things always have a way of working themselves out. And Sirota's talent is definitely there and almost put him top 25. He is, at this very second, he is 33, though again, still tweaking the rankings, but he is getting closer to top 25 overall rank for sure. You know, this is, I mean, the Dodgers are just absolutely loaded. I don't know how they keep doing it. It's just unfair that they keep doing this, but he's in a similar range. Some of the other bats in this range, like Bryce Eldridge, is in this range. Franklin Arias is in this range. Moises Ballesteros is in this range. Brendan Montgomery in this range as well, though he's kind of fallen off a little bit. Yeah, and another outfield prospect that's, you know, entered my top 50, Yosinsen Garcia. I mean, he's, you know, people talk about obviously the big three as they should, but you know, in Boston, like, they are very high on Garcia within the organization from what I, you know, people I've talked to. And, you know, he's been absolutely killing it. Now he's up in AAA. Who knows if he gets a shot to produce with Boston this year. I think maybe he gets a cup of coffee in September. But this guy is becoming, I mean, he's a candidate for top 25 as well. Pretty soon. It's just hard to put all these guys in the top 25. But I think at some point, if some of these guys, you know, graduate, you'll probably get a few more graduations at some point this year. I mean, you probably see Burns graduate, Anthony will graduate, maybe Basayo, not sure. Caglione will graduate. Mizurowski should. Maybe DeLauder does. Maybe Painter. So you got like seven-ish guys in the top 25 right now that could graduate. So I could easily see Yosinsen Garcia jumping up in there as well. I mean, he's right now in the low 40s. He's 43 at this very second. He's been trending up in a big way as well, and he's could probably be the new number one. It'd be him or Arias. It'd be fun to see, you know, how the next few months of them goes. But him or Franklin Arias, the new number one for Boston, as soon as Roman graduates soon, and Marcelo Meyer will graduate soon as well, and obviously Christian Campbell already did. All right, let's keep going here. A big jump into my top 100, into right now the 75 range. Jared Thomas from the Colorado Rockies, who just, I don't see him getting talked about nearly as much as he probably should right now. He's been in high A the entire season. He was a second-round pick last year out of Texas, 42nd overall pick last year's draft, in 342 plate appearances, slashing 330, 427, 495, 11 home runs, 22 steals, 13% walk rate, 23% strikeout rate. I mean, this guy is a solid 6'2", 195, 200. You know, I think he's a little bigger than that 190 list weight, but I'm just going off the eye test. But, you know, there's a fun power speed blend here. I'm not a burner by any means, and I wouldn't, you know, read too much into that 22 steals he has in high A, although he's not even caught two times. So the fact that he's around an average runner, I'd say maybe a hair above average, and maybe he, you know, falls down a little bit if he adds a little bit of bulk. But I think this is a guy that's going to give you 15 to 20 steals. You know, the fact that he's already showing that willingness to run, along with a high efficiency, only been caught twice, that's a success rate over 90%. That's very encouraging to see. And helps that he gets on base at a pretty high clip as well, that 13.2% walk rate. Contact skills are around average. He's in that 73-74% range in terms of contact. But, you know, Coors Field has that BABIP boost that, you know, guys that are, you know, 73% contact guys that might, you know, probably should hit more like 250, end up hitting like 270. Guys that are supposed to probably projected to be like 260, 270 hitters hit like 290. That's just kind of the way it goes with Colorado. So I think, you know, even as is, if he doesn't improve the contact skills, I think you could see a guy that's, you know, hitting for a solid average, like a 270 average or so, with 20 plus home runs and 15 to 20 steals. And I think he's definitely top 100 at this point. I would love to see him get a little bit of a test here, get the bump to high or to a double A, which also means I probably get to see him later this year with double A Hartford. So I'm also just kind of selfishly hoping that he does, so I can get same with the Detroit guys. Double A Erie for Detroit is in the Eastern League as well. So hoping I'm seeing a lot of these guys that could be in the Double A Eastern League over the final couple months of the season. But yeah, Thomas been one of the better hitters in the minor league so far this year and just not getting talked about nearly enough. So yeah, Jared Thomas into my top 75 or so overall. And I think this is a guy that could be top 50 soon. He's definitely on the rise, you know, and has the skill set to be top 50. Didn't want to go top 50 quite yet on him, but definitely, again, has that skill set to get into that top 50 range for sure. And he was just, you know, given that bump. Actually, no, wait, he was just bumped up to double A. So I don't know what I'm talking about here. I forgot that he just got the bump up to double A along with Charlie Condon. Totally spaced on that until I just was looking at Condon's name. And I remember that they both got the bump up to double A recently. So should be able to see him later on this year. And then Condon too. I mean, you know, he's a guy that, I mean, he's been really polarizing here for the last year or so. He was, for the most part, I wouldn't say the universal 1-1 in FYPD last year. I mean, it, you know, if you take out Roki Sasaki, who was number one once he got posted, but for just like the college guys or the draft guys, I should say, he would, I'd say if you had to pick between Condon and Bazzana, I'd say it was probably like 70-30, 75-25 in favor of Condon. And I think rankings reflected that initially after the draft. And then he had that poor 25 games in high A, you know, hit 180 with a 31% K rate, just looked bad. And then you hear, you know, the things coming out from Georgia, you know, whether, you know, stealing signs in some capacity. So you kind of wondered, like, you know, was that dominant 2 years at Georgia? Like how legit was it? Was it a little bit fluky? I'm not saying it was entirely fluky, but those kind of thoughts, you know, popped into my head. Like, all right, you know, how legit was Condon's dominance at Georgia? And then, you know, had Chris Welsh on this podcast, was it 2 months ago or so? I think it was in early May. And you know, he was talking about how Condon wasn't looking good at the complex. So that kind of pushed him further down rankings. And Welsh is one of the best in the biz and when it comes to prospects. So, you know, when he, you know, when I talk with him regularly and, you know, when he sees something like that, I mean, it really makes you think. So I was like, man, maybe this Condon fall from last year was warranted. Then, you know, he was dealing with the hand injury. There's just so many variables going into Charlie Condon. It was hard to figure out where you wanted to rank him, but now he's on the rise again. He's been hitting very well of late. He's up to a 309, 418, 418 slash line this season. I mean, not a lot of power so far, but luckily then the contact rates are ticking back up. He's been around 74% in high A, and that's even higher recently. You know, walk rate of 15.6% in high A, only a 21% K rate. The raw power is still there too. I'm not worried about the fact that he has 3 home runs in 35 games. I'm just happy to see, you know, the K rate down, the walk rate back up. I mean, that was very un-Condon like last year, like a 3.7% walk rate. You know, again, those 25 games, so I was trying not to ding him too much, but he's definitely kind of on the rise again. I think the power will come and it's still a plus power bat long term. So you could be looking at, you know, like I think a realistic outcome for him could be like a Nick Castellanos type, you know, from a handful of years ago when he was like a 260-30 guy. I think that's definitely possible for Condon. He's not really a third baseman anymore. He's primarily a first baseman at this point. So if you're hoping to get that third base eligibility, don't really see that happening. But first base, maybe some corner outfield, and that kind of Cody Bellinger type of eligibility. Yeah, I could see that for Condon. So yeah, he's definitely ticking back up and back to pushing top 50 overall. I have him right now in the 55 spot. Although again, that might change a little bit here over my next few hours as I finish tweaking these rankings. But yeah, Jared Thomas, Charlie Condon, definitely on the rise for sure.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right, let's go. Well, let's stick in the National League West here. Talk about a pitcher now. Cash Mayfield. First off, great name. Now, the Padres have a few great names. The Cash Mayfield, Cale Fountain, the Boston Batemans, good baseball names. And Cash with a K has been phenomenal this year in low A. It's been 10 starts, 29 innings. He's been primarily, you know, tossing, you know, two innings here, three innings there. You know, they're still babying him for sure. But he's been, you know, one of the, you know, better pitching prospects in the low minors. You know, he's a guy that didn't really get, you know, lumped in, you know, with the Ryan Sloanes and Cam Caminitis of the world in last year's draft. But he is definitely putting himself in that discussion. I think he's, you know, I don't quite have him top 100 yet, though he's getting pretty darn close. And he had a stretch earlier this season where it was just like completely lights out. And, you know, you look at his overall numbers and you say, oh, you know, he's not dominating. He's a 3.72 ERA. Though, you know, that's a really misleading, because in his first, let's see, what was it, five starts, he had three shutout innings in his first outing. Then it was two earned and four, three earned and two and a third, three earned and five, three earned and five. And then they kind of like scaled him back a little bit. He's already been pitching one, two, or three innings since then. And then he had, you know, a clean inning on the 13th of May with three strikeouts. Two perfect innings, four strikeouts on June 4th. You know, he went on the IL for a little bit there. And then June 11th, three innings, perfect, six Ks. June 18th, three innings with one unearned run, one walk, eight Ks. And his last time out was one unearned run and two-thirds of an inning. So, again, they're babying him right now. He hasn't gone over he's gone over 50 pitches once in the last five outings. So I think they maybe were pushing him a little bit too hard. In that first month, where he just, you know, in the 70 to 80 pitch count range. So they're scaling him back. But, you know, I think it's a good call. And I think they've pushed a lot of the prospects. And, you know, the breeze is working out with Salas, it didn't. So I think they may be taking a little bit of a more hesitant approach here with Cash Mayfield. But the stuff is really, really good. And just the feel for pitching and just how advanced he is for this age is also pretty darn good. I mean, you're looking at, you know, this guy's only 19 years old. He'll be, I'm not sure, he's 20 years old right now, but still a very raw pitching prospect. But he's shown a good feel, you know, good command over his arsenal. It's three pitches. You're looking at a mid-90s fastball, a slider around 80, and then a low to mid-80s changeup as well. Really good feel for that changeup. And he commands them all well. I mean, you know, the walk rate right now sits at 10%. It's a bit misleading. I think he's an above average to plus command and control guy long term. That changeup is really, really good. I mean, it could be one of the best changeups in all of baseball down the road. And he's showing a good feel for spin. He's got a slider he can miss bats with. And the fastball got some good ride on that as well. And so I think this could be, you know, three, you know, above average to plus offerings with above average to plus commands. He's still a couple years away. I don't think he's going to be up to like 2027. But this could be, you know, one of the best left-handed pitching prospects in baseball in short order. I mean, right now it's, you know, you got Thomas White, you got Noah Schultz, you got, you know, Hagen Smith, and a couple others. I think you see Cash Mayfield getting into that conversation next year. I won't say this year because, you know, Thomas White's a top 50 for me overall. So is Noah Schultz, even though he's kind of gone down a little bit. But Cash Mayfield, definitely a name to get in on now, because I think the price tag and the perceived value is only going to rise from here and probably rise a good amount. So right now is the perfect time to get in on him while that perceived value is still in check. I mean, it's not super high right now. I don't think you have to pay a top 100 price tag to get him, probably more like top 200. But I think that's going to be a top 100 price tag pretty darn quick here. So, you know, Cash Mayfield, definitely a name to get in and on now. A couple other names to get in on now while they're still, you know, not household names. You know, I got three more here that are kind of getting up into a similar range of my rankings here. You know, three pretty different profiles. You get Edward Florentino, outfield, you know, first base outfield prospect with the Pittsburgh Pirates. You got Unikur Kakaris in the complex level, you know, first base and outfield prospect for the Guardians. And then you get Ching-Hsien Ko with the Dodgers. You know, all of them, I think they're all, are they all 18? Yeah, Ko is 18. Kakaris, he's still 17, but almost 18. And let's see, Florentino, he's a little bit older. Oh, no, he's still an 18. I thought he might have been 19 now. But all of them having phenomenal seasons right now. And I will start with Florentino. Was in the complex level for 29 games, the last nine games, up with low A Bradenton. Overall, in 148 plate appearances, 7 home runs, 10 doubles, 10 steals, 13.5% walk rate, 20.9% strikeout rate. Again, it's a really good all-around season there, hitting for power, hitting for average, getting on base, stealing some bags as well. I want, you know, you look at, you know, 10 home runs in 38 games. You know, he's not a burner by any means. He's probably, I mean, fringe average, maybe average speed right now. I do think he ticks down. He's more of a below average runner long term, but I think he's still, you know, a runner that, I mean, even the 40 grade speed guys, you know, 45 grade speed guys, they can still be like a, you know, 10 to 12 steal guy. You know, again, it's not just speed. You know, obviously speed plays a big part in stealing bases, obviously. I'm not saying it doesn't, but you need to show that you have that willingness to run on the base paths and also, you know, be efficient. So a lot more goes into steals than just raw speed, but I think he could be, you know, maybe more of an 8 to 10 steal guy long term. Not a big thing, but he does have some athleticism, you know, on that big body. And he's 6'4", 200, 205. But the power upside, and I think even if he loses a little bit of speed here moving forward, this could be a 30 homer bat. And I know people are like, oh, it's Pittsburgh, they can't develop. Yeah, I get it. There's a stigma about Pittsburgh, but, you know, they're definitely better in player development now than they used to be. And this could truly be a plus or better power bat, 30-plus home runs. And the contact skills are solid, too. I mean, again, not going to be – I don't think he's going to be like a, you know, plus hit tool guy. But, you know, he's been at contact around 73% this year. And high A, it's closer to 80%. It's in the upper 70s right now. He's trimming the strikeout rate, keeping that in check, walking at a good clip. So I like Florentino a lot. He's top 100, top 150 range for me now, and could easily be in the top 100 by my August update. So definitely a name to get in on now. And then you got Unikur Kakaris for the Guardians. I hope I'm saying this right. Some of these names I haven't heard pronounced a whole lot or at all, especially some of these younger names. So if anybody ever hears, you know, me say a name incorrectly and you know how to say it correctly, please feel free to tweet at me or at, you know, Toolshed Pod, and just let me know, or you know, whatever. Shoot me an email, whatever. You get a hold of me, let me know. So I definitely want to say all of these names correctly. But Kakaris is having a real breakout year. so far at the complex. Last year, it was a decent year last year, too, in the DSL. Didn't hit a home run, but 340, 425, 504 slash line in 40 games. This year in 32 games, three home runs, five steals, 333, 453, 539 slash line, 17.2% walk rate, and an 11.7% strikeout rate. Contact skills have taken a big jump this year, over a 10% jump in his contact rate. Looking at around the 83-84% contact, only a 6.5% swing and strike rate. He's become more patient this year, again, walking more, striking out at a very low clip. I mean, which was the case last year. He had more walks than strikeouts last year as well. Not the biggest dude in the world. I mean, he's not Florentino size, but you know, he's listed at 5'10", about 170. I think he's a little bit bigger than that now. But a really strong frame. And I don't think he's going to be a massive power bat, but I think you could be looking at above average to plus hitter, given his contact skills and approach at the plate. I think you're looking at above average power in time as well. Not sure how much of a runner he's going to be. I mean, he's already not the quickest in the world, and you got to wonder if he, you know, it's only bulks up a little bit more, loses a little bit of speed, but I think he should at least add some speed element. So if you're looking at, I guess, you know, maybe a 60 hit, 55 to 60 power guy, you know, 40 to 45 speed, something like that, still a very, you know, fantasy friendly profile here. And he's a name that I think is going to be, you know, in that top 100. He's trending at top 100 right now. Could get there again. Both him and Florentino could be in that top 100 by my August update. So another big name on the rise there, Yunaker Kakares, with the Cleveland Guardians in the complex level. Next one, Ching-Hsien Ko. Again, hoping I'm saying that right. With the Los Angeles Dodgers. Again, he's been one of the better hitters in the low levels of the minors as well. In 182 plate appearances at the complex level, 361, 473, 537 slash line, three home runs, three steals, 15.4% walk rate, and an 18.7% strikeout rate as well. I mean, just another great young prospect for the Dodgers. I mean, their scouting department is top notch. I mean, that's the reason why they are as good as they are year in, year out. Yeah, they spend a lot of money, but they also develop and find talent maybe better than anyone in baseball. I mean, that's how you sustain success. You've seen these teams that spend a lot that don't always have great years because they don't have the greatest farm system and homegrown talent. Not the case with the Dodgers. They either bring them up and or trade them away to get other talent in. But Ko is a really, really fun bat. You know, really strong, you know, 6'3", 220, strong frame. You know, he's already showing, you know, above average to plus power potential. Not a lot of home runs right now because he's hitting the ball on the ground near 50% of the time. But I think this could be, you know, a good power bat long-term, 25, 30 home runs. And hopefully long-term, he can be more than just a power bat. I mean, he's hitting 361 right now. A little bit misleading. The contact skills aren't great. There's some swing and miss. It's a near 15% swinging strike rate, but he also, you know, gets on base at a high clip, walks a good bit, and there's some speed here too. I think he could be a double digit steal guy long term. You know, that those contact skills are kind of like what I'm keeping an eye on here. But as long as he can make enough contact, you know, and improve those contact rates moving forward, I think you could have a pretty fun all around profile here from Ching-Hsien Ko. Again, a guy that's not top 100 yet for me, but definitely, you know, could be pushing that in my August update. So those kind of three right there, Eber Florentino, Yunaker Kakares, and Ching-Hsien Ko, three names to get in on now before they become, you know, top 100 household names in prospect rankings. Another guy who is on the rise right now that wasn't even in my top 500, that's Joshua Baez of the St. Louis Cardinals. Currently in double A, and you know, the reason why he wasn't in my top 500, he had a 35.5% K rate last year between low A and High A as a 21-year-old, so that really just put me off of him. He struggled hard in High A. I mean, he slashed 225, 306, 388 with a 37.3% strikeout rate in High A. So he fell out of my top 500. He was in it last year for part of the year, fell out later on the season, and was not in it to start the season. But he has turned things around this year. 10 home runs, 30 steals, and a 296, 396, 504 slash line in 275 games, nearly split between High A and Double A. You know, that K rate's come down a good bit. Contact skills, which were around 64% last year, up to around 72% this year. You know, trim the swing strike rate. You know, he's walking more, you know, by 3.5% walk rate. Just that massive, massive drop in strikeout rate. You know, Baez, for a long time, has been known for his massive, massive raw power. And that was the question for him coming out of the draft. I mean, he was a high school kid, second-round pick back in 2021. And, you know, he's a Northeastern area kid. I think he's in the Boston area. Massive power. People are wondering, like, this could be a 40-homer bat. Will he make enough contact? And, you know, kind of didn't come to fruition for him until recently. And that power is still there. I mean, he doesn't have the gaudy home run totals right now. He never really has, but I think this could be a 25-plus homer bat. You know, not a big runner. He's a below average, you know, fringe average speed guy, but maybe he adds 8 to 10 steals, something like that. Though, he's shown the willingness to run this year, and he's 30 for 35 this year, was 29 for 34 last year. High success rate, again, good to see, but I don't think he's more than like a 10, 12 steal guy long term. But if he's hitting 25-plus home runs with an average that you can live with, I mean, I still think he's probably more like 250. And I'm not super high on, like, the hit tool long-term. But this could turn into a pretty solid corner outfield type for the Cardinals down the road. And maybe even see him debut at some point next summer. So he's definitely moving back up, back in that top 200 range. So good to see Joshua Baez turning things around, because he was always a fun prospect that I hope would turn out, given that massive, massive raw power that he has. It's good to see him turning things around. All right, a few more names here on the follower side before I get out of here. You know, first off, going back to, you know, I listed off my top 25, and I think two names that, you know, are the bigger names that people are probably wondering why they're not in my top 25 anymore, one hitter, one pitcher, that's Bubba Chandler and Jordan Lawler. Both of them are not terribly far from my top 25 right now, and I still, you know, have high hopes for them long term, but there's a notable concern with each of them. You know, with Bubba Chandler, I mean, I've talked about it before, so I won't go like super, you know, in depth again and kind of say the same things I've already said, but the walk rate is a concern right now. And after being, you know, around that 7.5% range for 6-7 starts of the year, it's over doubled. I mean, it's at like 15.3% or something like that over his last 10 outings. He's been at AAA the whole year, so it's not like he got from AA to AAA, and then the ABS system was kind of messing with him. Now, he's been there the whole year dealing with the ABS system for the whole season, and I've heard people say, oh, he's bored. I mean, sure, maybe he is bored. Maybe he should have been called up 2 months ago. That's fair. But I'm not going to chalk up like a massive walk rate increase like this. It's not like it went from 7% to 10%. It over doubled. So that's a notable jump. And I don't know if there's an injury. I haven't heard anything. Not really sure. I haven't really seen anything different with his mechanics. So I'm not quite sure what has caused the massive walk rate increase, but it's probably why he's still in the minor leagues. If he was dominating, if he pitched over his last 9 starts, like he did in his first 7, I would almost guarantee Chandler's up now in Pittsburgh. But back to, he's been kind of walking everybody, you know, the strike rate's gone down. And the upside is still like a high end two, borderline ace long term. You know, he could be a top 25 arm for fantasy long term. So he's still like in the top 30 range, barely outside my top 25. He's my number 4, no, it should be number 5 pitching prospect right now, behind Burns, Sikora, Mizierowski, and Painter. And he's still in that second tier, you know, with a pretty decent drop off down to, like, you know, Thomas White and Schultz and Savage and all of them. So he's still top 5 pitching prospect, still pushing top 25 overall. could get back there, but have some concerns there with that walk rate. And, you know, with Lawler, he's on the IL again. It's a guy that you got to really wonder the durability. Is it there? I mean, he's missed a lot of time, you know, over the last, you know, couple of seasons. So I don't really know, you know, I mean, I say that and I still have Chase Lauder ranked highly, but he's at least healthy right now. And I, again, Lauder would be top 10 for me if it wasn't for that durability issue. And I still have him top 20 overall. Lawler, I mean, and I like the Lauder more than Lawler's profile, which is why I have Lauder ranked higher than Lawler. But he's on the IL right now. Hamstring issue, missed all that time last year. I mean, he'd probably be up right now given some of the injuries that Arizona has had. In fact, he can play, you know, in a few infield spots. You know, he's played a little bit of outfield as well, though he struggled a lot when he got up to Arizona in earlier this year. But I still have faith that this could be, you know, a top 50 fantasy guy, like a 20 home run, 25 steal guy with a decent average and good OBP as well. That guy is still there. I had to drop him a little bit here just because of another injury, more time missed. So hopefully he can come back, you know, get his feet under him again and make a debut later this year. We'll see. But, you know, I had to drop Lauer just outside my top 25. He's in the 28, 29 range right now. Last name that's a follower here, you know, Aroles Martinez, who I have always been a bit lower on than most, but still, I thought he'd be a decent bat. I was, you know, ranking him as like a stud bat or anything like that, like others were. But this year, it's just been absolutely terrible. I mean, obviously, he missed half the season last year. And even with that, you know, came back late in the season, thought he'd be, you know, a guy that could be helping out in Toronto right now. But not when you're slashing 189, 274, 357 in AAA, 9 home runs in 68 games there. I mean, striking out near 30% of the time. You know, contact rate is, let's see, 63.6% overall, which is not great at all. That's well below average. And in zone is not much better. In zone is, well, it's in zone's about 80%, so that's actually not terrible. But the overall contact rate is terrible. And it's not like he's hitting for a ton of power right now. The quality of contact for Aroles Martinez has also gone down. I mean, it's still all right, but it's 8% barrel rate, 37.3% hard hit rate, 86 mile an hour average exit velocity. So, you know, I still think he's going to get up there at some point this year and be a major leaguer. I just don't know if he's a starter and a high end starter. I've always had those questions, and he's kind of taken a step back this year. So, yeah, he's definitely falling. He was in my 150 range. He's now outside my top 200, and I'm not looking to buy low here at all. So, that's going to wrap me up, though, here for this episode, number 399. Got 400 on the way on Monday, getting a guest lined up for that episode. And, again, check out my top 500 over on my Patreon, toolshedfantasy.com. A lot of big rankings updates this month, a lot of fun risers and followers. Could have talked 5 more hours on this, but I'll keep it right here around an hour. Thanks to everyone for joining me. Hope you enjoyed it, and I'll be back with you again soon. But until then, everyone take care.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.